Today is May 17th, 1984, and we're at the Patient Hostel in Fairbanks, Alaska. We're working on a biography for Bertha and Johnson Moses, and Bertha and Johnson are with me tonight. My name is Wendy Arendelle, and this is the Yukon Koyukuk Biographical Sketch Project. Since we talked with Johnson quite a bit on the last tape, I'd like to start out maybe tonight with you, Bertha. And we talked some about your growing up years, but maybe there might be some things that you would like to add about that time, things that happened or people that you remember especially, or other kinds of things about your growing up years that you'd like to pass on.
Okay, maybe I'll talk about how people used to work and make living, how much different it is now, today. I'll start with when I remember what they do when they're working, like if they're cutting wood. People used to cut wood by the cords for sale. A cord of wood is they pile it in even blocks 8 feet long, and then it's piled 4 feet by 4 feet, and they sell them to the storekeepers or the missionaries. And all the wood they cut was they chop it down by axe and those dry saws, and then they would raft it down, then carry it up the bank on their shoulders, and then they would be hired to saw them by hand with drag saw again, and then split them. And that's a lot of work. We used to see a lot of people work like that just to make a few dollars so they can buy milk and some groceries for their children. And sometimes they buy clothes from the missionaries for their children too. That's one thing. I still remember how we used to see people sawing wood. I don't know how many days it take them to saw with a drag saw. The drag saw usually is about 6 to 8 feet long, and one man saw.
Mm-hmm. A big cross-cut
saw? Yes, a big cross-cut saw. And today people use chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to haul ice too for the missionaries. The missionaries had a little ice house. It was built with logs. It was built double log house.
Mm-hmm.
And with a space between it where they put sawdust.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the little log house they put those ice. My dad used to haul ice for the mission. We used to watch him. He sawed them in blocks, then he put them in the sled with big iron tongs, then hauled them with dogs to the ice house and packed them in and put them in the sawdust. I guess they have the ice. I don't really know what they had it for at that time, but I used to thought they were storing ice away so they could make ice cream when it's warm weather. That's what I used to thought anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I never did find out what was in the ice house. Maybe they had food in there too, but I never did find out.
Mm.
And that's some ways they make living besides hunting. Nobody did much of office work or anything when we were little, except the missionaries and the post office. And people hardly ever had mail then. And I remember And the other time when I was talking about when people come to gather, when they come to each other, especially around June, I think, after the muskrat hunting and everything,
mm-hmm.
I remember the potlatches they used to have. That's the time of the year they used to have make potlatches in memory of the people they lost, like if a man lost his wife or woman lost her husband, or if parents lost a grown-up child or a child, and then they usually make potlatches in memory of them.
Mm-hmm.
In my earliest memories is when they're preparing to have potlatches. I remember this one time real good. That was 1938. They were going, I don't know how my mother and parents know that they were going to have a big memorial potlatch in June. And we happened to stay in the village that year. We didn't go out to the camp. We were a big family, so it sometimes it used to be a little bit hard to for us to travel to camp and with the boat and everything. So we happened to stay in the village that year, and my mother hunt and fishing. As soon as the ice go, we eat fresh fish and everything. Then after a little while, she doesn't have much to do, and she was making moccasin for us because we didn't have any shoes, and we never used to come across to Allakaket without shoes. I don't know, ever since I could remember, I didn't feel comfortable, or we were just bashful or something to go to Allakaket without shoes. So my mother made moose-skin moccasins for us. She embroidery on them, for the embroidery flowers, floral design on them, and make some for us. And she said that's for when the potlatch. Then after that, she they clean up. Everybody was cleaning up their yards, getting ready for the potlatch. People will come from Cut Off and Hughes, they say, and they cleaned the yard. I remember it used to be just.
Turn it up.
Okay, I'll get back to the potlatch again. And I remember there wasn't much airplanes them days, and they probably plan it and write to each other way ahead of time. There was no telephones, no radios to give each other messages. And they say, everybody will come up from Cut Off, and everybody will come up from Hughes by boat. So everybody was preparing for that. Then one evening, they listen by the bank, and one evening they hear the boats coming. They used to have the boat with inboard motors them days.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat isn't too big, but I guess it was big. It looked big to us them days, with no house, just a boat. And then they would hear the motors coming down there, could hear it. And then pretty soon they come out. And from Alatna, we paddle across and wait for them. And all the people stand by the bank, by in the river, and watch for the boats. And we see about five or six boats. They get all together and just like a raft coming up right in front of the Allakaket.
Mm.
Mm. And this guy, his name was Francis Olin. and that's Catherine Atlas' grandfather,
mm-hmm.
and Lydia Simon and Mary Bent's father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I remember him. I think he was the only one standing up in the boat,
mm-hmm.
and the other people were sitting. And while that boat is still running, we could hear him singing in the boat. And these people that are on top of the bank, they had calico and wolf skins, and they danced on top of the bank. And then the boat went almost to upper end of Alakakit and then land. And I remember everybody walk up and go in the hall, and it seems like to me the dance start right away. They used to have a real good violin music, violin and guitar music, and then they sing Indian songs and dance too. And there were so many people to me that time. I thought the hall was full and we had to play outside of the hall, and everybody was having so much fun. I don't know how many days they did that. Then they have potlatches in the evening with food. Everybody gather and eat. And then they have singing. Then later on, they bring everything in to the hall. I remember this one guy. His name was Johnny Oldman. He was having potlatch for his wife, Kitty Oldman. He had a lot of bowls of material, cloth, and those days they called it silk. I don't know what it really was. I remember there was pink, light blue, navy blue, black grounds with floral prints. And a lot of other people had wolverine skins, wolf skins, moose skins, and all kinds of things. Then everybody sit down and they cut all the skins up and the material, and they pass them around. Even though there were a lot of people, everybody was really quiet. And ever since I could remember, they have those memorial potlatches. But that one, 1938, was a really big one. And I guess that's how I remember it, real good. Mm. After the potlatch is over, it was 4th of July, and they had, I think it might have been around, I can't remember if they had the 4th of July games first, or I think it was after the potlatch, a day or two, and they had all kinds of fun. Them days they used to collect money, walk around and collect money. The chief used to collect money for for 4th of July games, and they had the trade money that time, and they used to call it bingo. I don't know what that means. That's all I know, the name of that money that mm-hmm. time. Then they used to collect money. Then I remember the chief, he never did write the games down, but they did it year after year, I guess, and they just remember how much money they have, and they would get children by the age or size, and they would have races, mostly races,
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of games in 4th of July. They still do today. I don't think it changed very much, except that nowadays they have a dressing up race, which they never used to have years ago, and another one is wheelbarrow race. I remember when they first had wheelbarrow race, I thought that was really funny. I just laughed. And after the 4th of... then after that, everybody were getting ready to leave. And most people get in their boat and rowing down. A lot of boats seems like rowed down. People from Ellicankit going down to fish camp too. And that was the only time that was the biggest potlatch, I think, in those days. Right now, people can just get on the plane and go wherever they want to go. Not like long ago. Transportation was really slow.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, they still do it. I don't think it was slow then. Time was nothing them days. Not like right now, we're trying to do things faster than when they used to do it years ago. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Time was available that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of time. And we didn't have any toys when we were little too. I'm going to go into a different subject now.
Okay, can I stop you for just a second and
ask a
couple questions? Because I think the toys would be real interesting, and I want to hear about them.
Okay,
I want to ask you on the tape.
Okay.
You were talking about your mother making you beaded moccasins, or embroidered moccasins. Were those beadwork or quill work?
It was embroidery with thread that time.
Oh, okay.
She usually do bead work too,
uh-huh.
But I think we were such a big family that some of us had to end up always having embroidery with thread.
Mm-hmm. That would be terrible. I wish somebody would have made some for me like that. That's really amazing.
Uh-huh.
Wondering about the dancing at the potlatch. You were talking about how when the people came, they started right away to play the music and to dance. What kind of dancing was that? Was that, you know, well, let's go back. You said they were dancing with the calico and stuff on the bank. Was that Indian dancing?
Yes, that was Indian dancing. I think they call it washtub dance.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Is there a native word for that?
Or
name for that kind of dancing?
That's Nihutoch.
Nihutoch.
Yeah, Nihutoch.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically mm-hmm. Washington.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And then what
that's
kind of
memorial.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you say what kind of dances?
Yeah, what kind of dances?
Okay. They waltz. Oh, they used to waltz just beautifully. Mm-hmm. And then they dance foxtrot, one step, two-step, heel and toe polka, square dance. In those days, they don't dance square dance too many times a night, maybe two or three times in one night.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly they waltz and all the foxtrot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Waltz mostly seems like in one mm-hmm. step. And I guess they learn all that from the people,
uh-huh.
white people years
uh-huh.
ago.
What do you remember who the musicians were?
Okay, I remember Johnson's brother, older brother, Edward Bergman, used to be one of the violin players. And I think it used to be Walter Kaikuk used to be the guitar player. And at one time I saw people playing mandolin too, and that was Joe Beatis and Grafton used to play mandolin, and other violin players were Little Sammy from Cut Off,
mm-hmm.
and one time I saw my uncle David Tobuk play violin too, and there seems like there weren't too many people that play violin
mm-hmm.
them days,
mm-hmm.
and guitar, even guitar too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they had a lot of instruments. There was few people
mm-hmm.
who have instruments, and they last really long time. Anything they have used to last a long time. They took really good care of them.
How did people learn to play music?
I guess they learned from the white people. I don't really know that part. I think they probably learned, seems like they probably learned probably in battles. Because there used to be a lot of white people in battles and wise men.
Sure.
So that's probably where they learned. Or it could have been even in that, where they call Bergman. Where the village of Bergman below Alakaki. It could have been there or Arctic City when they learned.
Johnson, aren't you, haven't I heard somewhere that you used to play the fiddle some?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, he can play really. He can play real good.
How did you get started playing the fiddle?
Okay, it's kind of long story.
Where
I got started, you know, first I've told most part of it already, but I'll tell you some more now.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
And then we'll get back to the toys.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't forgotten.
Yeah, okay. Where I started playing with violin was 1938. I wasn't at the Alakaket Patlast and I was 14 years old. I became 14 years old while I was in 10. And yeah, at the Patlast and Alakaket, and here I was in 10. I guess the first few airplanes started go to Alakaket, you know, once a month. It was Wings. 1938 in April. I was sick kind of all winter from December. Off and on, keep getting worse and worse. And here I got hurt driving dogs. I guess it wasn't bad, but every time I move around, I guess I make it worse.
What did you have?
I had an infection under my skin, I think.
Oh, okay.
And so, I don't know, it was something else too, I bet, you know. And finally, in April, we get back to town, and I couldn't stay up no more. I couldn't even sit down. So, airplane come along, they put me in airplane, my grandfather, Big William. They took me to Tana and Tana Hospital. I stayed there from April to first part of August. In Tana, there was my relative from Kaikuk Station. His name was Crispin Yatlin. He was my relative, really. He had little violin. And there was violin player was in that hospital at the same time. He was from Ruby. Arthur Kennedy used to be. He was a really violin player. So he was teaching my cousin, you know, Crispin, at the same time. I guess I was interested because I see my brother, older brother, play violin all those years. I guess I want to learn. I kind of learned little that spring. And first part of August, I said, I got to go home. I'm well now. How am I going to go home? They said, we're going to put you in steamboat, steamer Nina. I saw the steamer Ninana is parked on the Alaska land right now.
Right.
And I could just tell pretty close where my room was up there when I look at it last year. And I get on steamboat, here I go again. I started to cry again. I thought they'd taken me just someplace else away from my grandfather, you know. Got down to Kaikuk Station. They let me get off. People, strangers, you know, I thought. And here was my mother's cousin and relative. So, Andrew Pilot was my mother's cousin.
My
real mother's cousin. She's a cousin, first cousin or something
that's
like
that. That's right.
And they got me, so I started staying with them. Back and forth between different people every other day. But I stayed there about 1 month waiting for George Black's Idler to go up to Alakaket in the fall in September. Finally, George Black's boat came around and took me back to Alakaket. I just got back to Alakaket in time for my grandpa William Big William come down from camp to pick me up, take me back to camp again.
Uh-huh.
But I was happy I was home with Grandpa.
Oh, yeah. And that here, was a long time to be away.
Yeah. Here, I learned how to play harmonica a little bit too, uh-huh, from Tanner Hospital. So I was playing with all those things. I was showing off to my cousins, you know.
Uh-huh.
Here, go to camp, and my brother, William, the one I grew up with, he had violin. He's really that, give him violin. So he was kind of learning. All fall, I would be staying home, and my grandfather, Big William, in the house. Squeak that, and he said, you go out, stay outside some place and squeak it. So I would sit down outdoors in fall time, cold, and I kind of squeak on it a little bit. By Thanksgiving, I won't go back to Allakaket. I learned one song.
Uh-huh.
Thanksgiving, they took me back to Allakaket for 2-3 days. The missionaries, Episcopal missionaries, I guess I told them I play violin. I guess I don't know how they get me to play violin for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving evening.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little party for school kids. I remember I sit down back there in the corner and play violin. That one song all evening, kids having a lot of fun. 1938. And since that time, I still play it for people dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Every
mm-hmm.
time I get a chance from any place.
So that was your violin debut, huh?
Yeah.
Your opening concert.
Yeah, right, yeah. Sometimes I used to don't like violin because all my cousins, my brothers dancing and hear me sharing down mm. with that violin all mm-hmm. part of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I like violin better.
So that's how you got started on
mm-hmm.
it, huh?
So I never really play fancy, you know, but just enough for people to dance.
Uh-huh.
As long as they like my music, then I play.
Well, that's neat. That's neat. I think
okay.
you were really lucky to have that opportunity then, to meet that fellow from Ruby. And
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I see my brothers play, you know.
Uh-huh.
My oldest brother, Edward Berkman, used to play violin. My next brother, Abraham, old man, he used to play.
Uh-huh.
When I started to play violin for Dunston, they just quit right now. They never play no more.
Hmm.
I don't know, just like I just turned them off. And
oh,
I take their place.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Maybe it was your turn.
Maybe. I guess they want to dance more than
that could be.
Yeah.
That could be.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, you can get back to Bertha.
Okay.
With the toys.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about toys. That would be real interesting.
Okay. We didn't have very much toys like the kids do nowadays. But sometimes I think it would be better if it was still the old way, so there wouldn't be so much junk all over.
Mm.
And if we have toys, we get for Christmas from the missionaries, then it would last a long time until it got lost or until it just wear out. But our games used to be, as soon as there's a little bit water in the shore, or little puddles outdoors, everybody used to build a little boat and tie string to it, little wooden boat, and tie string to it and a little twig or a piece of willow, and then we used to put it in the water and run all over around the shore, and all summer long we play that. Sometimes we built little channels and run our boat there, and we play with sticks too. In winter time, my grandpa used to make real fine little drop, just like drop sticks, except
mm-hmm.
it's different, it's shorter, and we play them. He taught us how to play those he taught us how the who pick the most gets is the winner.
Mm.
And then another one is he taught us how to play with string too. He would get piece of string, and then he would make all
string
kinds of
string figures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, string figures, but we didn't learn much of it. We learned a little bit. And
did he have stories that went with the string
figures?
Uh-huh.
He had story with the string. My grandpa Peter, his name was Neptune really, but his English name was Peter. He's the one that tell us the story with the string.
Mm.
And all I learned was to make the ptarmigan feet, what they call.
Mm-hmm.
They had all animals and birds. You know, and I don't remember them real good because I saw only him make them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
excuse me, let me ask just one more question. When you say drop sticks, you mean like pickup sticks?
Mm-hmm. Except you put it in the palm of your hand, then you throw them all up in the air,
uh-huh.
and you turn while those drop sticks are in the air, you turn your hand around and you get them in the back of your hand. Most of them would drop off, but then you, if there's one or two in your top of your hand, and you throw them up again, then you catch them with your small finger.
Mm.
And whatever you catch like that is yours. And you just go around in a circle, trying to see who'll pick up the most. And another game too we used to play, they call it muck. It's a no talking game.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody sit down and whoever talk first or laugh will be muck, I guess.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Anyway, we would be sitting there, and then all we sit in a circle, and then they say muck, and everybody get really quiet. Whoever invented that game probably wanted kids to be quiet. That's why they did that. Anyway, when they say muck, everybody get quiet. Then whoever is trying, they're trying to be quiet the longest. And we would try to make each other laugh.
Mm.
So we'd dance around or do something silly,
mm-hmm.
without making noise with our mouth. And usually it's dancing around, being
mm-hmm.
funny. And whoever laughs first, then has to, it's the loser.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And what other? Oh, we used to play can toys too, in the winter time, in the summer time. I remember we didn't have very much cans. The only kind of cans we see is milk cans, and maybe once in a great while fruit cans.
Mm-hmm.
But the missionary and the storekeepers used to have cans in their trash.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to really like those little meat cans, I think. The smaller the can, the better. And once in a while we see ham cans, and we use them for our pot roaster.
Mm.
And in the summertime we dig our little house and play with our can toys. And our cousins and us, we used to steal each other's can toys back and forth to trying to get the best one. Then we play with mud, stir mud,
uh-huh.
make mud pies, all kinds of cook everything with mud.
Uh-huh.
And in winter time, we would dig a place in the snow, and then we built pretend our house, rooms, and then we would have can toys. And we always used to pick all kinds of cones, and there's some redwood has a little, it's just like a little cone, but it's just the size of raisins.
Mm-hmm.
We used to pick all those, and then we would find crusty snow, and we saw them up with stick, flat stick. We cut them and that make bake pies and cakes again.
Mm-hmm.
On and on, year round, we used to look for those cans.
They were kind of like your doll dishes or something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
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 And after we got a little bit older, we make rag dolls too.
Mm.
And we make it to family.
Mm-hmm.
Family dolls. The mother and the father and the kids. And I think it was when I was around 10 years old, and my cousins and I would make rag dolls.
Mm.
And material was really hard to get that time. Even real small piece of material. All our clothes were handmade too most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody make handmade clothes. It's okay if I go into a clothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
And everybody make handmade clothes, and every time a little piece material they're not going to keep, then we get it to make doll clothes. And my mother used to, my mother and all the mothers, I guess, used to buy material from the store. It was cotton. They call it calico. Calico.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it used to be 2 or 3 yards for a dollar. All depends on what kind of material, I guess. 2 or 3 yards for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to buy flannel by the yards to stripe mm-hmm. color, I remember it used to be. And they make underclothes with the flannel
uh-huh.
and dresses, mostly dresses. It used to be just big sack dress, I guess that's what they call.
Mm-hmm.
It has no shape, mm-hmm. no waist. Straight down almost.
Mm-hmm.
And every spring after muskrat hunting, they used to make us dresses. And in fall time, before we go to school. And then we had fur parkas, all fur. It's sometimes sheepskin or rabbit skin or caribou skin.
Mm-hmm. And when you say sheepskin, you mean mountain sheepskin?
Yes, mountain mm-hmm. sheep. I had sheepskin parka 2 times,
mm.
and then when the parka get the fur kind of drop off and it get a little bit old, and then they turn it inside out and make denim or twill parka to go over it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's still warm, and they made our mukluks out of caribou legs and moosekin bottom. And we used to use those snowshoe rabbit for our socks.
Mm-hmm.
Warm all winter.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of mittens?
Oh, we used to have those snowshoe rabbit with fur inside, sometimes cloth over it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some people have moosekin mittens with the that rabbit lining,
mm-hmm.
real warm. And but I come from a big family, so we usually have caribou skin with fur inside mittens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all of us have that. And all of us had we had all fur clothes.
On your parka, what kind of ruff usually?
Oh, we usually have wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Wolverine was for the girls
mm-hmm.
and women
uh-huh.
them days. And we usually have all wolverine around our ruff,
uh-huh.
around our parka.
Okay.
And even though we were a lot of us in our family, we all had ruff in our
mm-hmm.
parka.
Mm-hmm. What about leggings? What kind of?
Oh, when I was small, I had caribou skin boots. And it was all the way up to my waist.
Okay.
The pants with the
all
one piece.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I used to be ashamed of it when we come to town. I don't want nobody to. I don't wear it when I go to Alakakit. I wear it in Aladdin.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And with suspenders on.
Uh-huh.
And that was really good.
But that was warm.
Mhm. But after a while, when we have long boots. You know,
mm-hmm.
our mukluks go over our knees.
Uh-huh.
And then we used to wear old overalls to the kind they have, they still have the suspenders or denim ones. And homemade clothes too. They used to make underclothes with flannel, you know, what they call bloomers. And with, sometimes they make it with flower sack too. Flower sack, they call it petticoat. And
Let's ask Johnson a little bit. What do you remember of having as toys when you were a little kid?
Yeah, the toys we had, you know, really, that was like for everybody. It was for everybody, men's and all, even the women sometimes. In the spring when they get together in Allakaket, after muskrat hunting, everybody come back to town. Some of the old people would make willow ring. It would be about 10 inch in diameter, about, and it's kind of heavy. And they get those willow bark, and they twist it, and they put it across, I don't know how many times, over that ring, so it wouldn't kind of smash in or get out of shape. And there would be a little hole in the middle, and they have spear, willow spear, they make it sharp. They dry them, and all the boys would have it. That's what they teach us first in the spring. You know, they teach us how to throw spear at that ring. One man would be in the end to roll it right down the line, right down the line on the trail.
So it would roll on the ground.
Roll on the ground. The boys and men who teaching us would be on one side. We're all on one side. And that little ring would roll down right in front of us. And we'd be shooting with that spear, you know, throwing it and miss. Sometime, I guess, when it could slow down, then somebody would get it. And while it's on that wood ring, that little ring is on the spear. That guy, whoever get it, he left it up. And there would be a bunch of people line up ahead of him or before him. He won't give that one guy credit. He left it up and he point at that one guy. He tell him, that's your credit. So that guy would really work hard, I guess, until he pay back. So that was really big game.
Tell me again what he would say.
That was credit.
Yeah.
That,
what was the, say the way he did though?
Oh, that's they tell each other. I give you credit to that person, whoever they make that noise, you know. So that was a really interesting game for men and boys, you know. And what they call broad jump and all kinds of jumping, you know. This would go on in the summer, in the spring. While they were waiting for 4th of July. And in winter time would be football. That's all I know.
Oh, I was going to ask you if, if you played about playing football, because a couple of other people have mentioned that to me just a little bit. Tell me what the football was made out of.
Ask Bertha. Bertha will tell you.
What I remember the football was made out of, it was made out of nice, soft, tanned moose skin. I remember they have this pattern that looked like a figure eight. And then, you know, it is just like the ball.
So it fit together.
Yeah, fit
like
together.
This.
And it was Catherine Evans. She made those. I think she made two. That's what I remember. But before that, I don't know what they had. My grandmother tells story about how they made. She made football. Her name was her name was Dickie Jaw. That's my dad's mother. She made football for.
I think before you start the story, I better turn the tape over.